Thank you for that glowing welcome. It's really lovely just to look out and see so many familiar and really comforting faces. I'd just like to pray before I start, if you'd like to join with me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are our Saviour, that you are our King who humbled himself to come down to earth in the likeness of a man and take on the weight of our sin and shame. Lord, I ask that that this reading and this message this morning, as we look back to the Old Testament, to your holy word that was written thousands of years ago, that in that we would see Jesus, and that in that we would see something that changes us today. Amen. Alrighty. I mean, I feel like I don't really need to introduce myself now. Many of you already know who I am, and Leah also has just given me this beautiful welcome. But if we haven't met before, my name is Hannah, and it's really lovely to meet you. Recently, I was on social media having a quick scroll when I came across a post from a good friend, someone that I went to high school with, someone who I'd been close with and had stayed in pretty good contact with. We still catch up every now and then. This post showed her playing in a finals game for the New South Wales Women's Under 25 Rugby Union team. And when I saw it, I just was immediately confused and almost alienated because I didn't even know that this friend of mine played rugby. It was like I'd somehow missed out on this whole important part of who she was. And it got me wondering, had it just never come up? Was this something that she had intentionally kept to herself? But then I had a look at some of the other things that she had shared on her social media, and I thought back to conversations that we had had over the years when she told me she was going to be away that weekend for tournaments and things like that. And I realised that the problem wasn't her at all. I just hadn't been paying attention. All the information was right there in front of me, and now it actually seemed like something I probably should have known about her. But I still felt sort of alarmed, like maybe I just didn't know her quite as well as I thought that I did. And I feel like this is something that maybe we all experience every now and then with friends or family members. Maybe our parents. There might be things that we learn about our parents later on in life about their youth that we didn't learn for a long time. I mean, I just recently learned that my dad, when he was about 8 years old, used to only pretend to put his 50-cent coin in the offering at church so that he and his mate could skip out on Sunday school and go and get hot chips. So it turns out I didn't really know my dad at all. But I think that this is also something that happens between us and God. It's certainly easy to look back through the Bible and think that the Jews maybe didn't really know their God as well as they thought that they did. If we turn back to that passage from Isaiah that Lisa read for us, this passage draws on an idea that I think today we have become quite comfortable with over 2,000 years of retelling the Easter story. We have come to understand that this image of a humble carpenter, a man from Galilee, no less, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem just did not satisfy the vision of a saviour that the Jews collectively had built over thousands of years. To read the second half of that passage again, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Despite countless prophecies throughout the Old Testament, including this one, that foretold that Jesus would come lowly as the lamb, rejected and sacrificed for our shame, despite these prophecies, the Jewish leaders, who, by the way, were the very ones who would have had these prophecies memorized, the Jewish leaders did not recognize the Savior before them. All of the clues were right there in front of them. From the way that he was born, fulfilling prophecies, the miracles that he performed, the crowds that flocked to him, the mystery of Christ was not hiding. And some people did piece it together, usually those without pride in their hearts because of things like wealth or religious education or power. But because all of the clues didn't fit the image that the Jewish leaders had built for themselves of the ideal hero to save God's people from the Romans, they completely missed him. Actually, worse than that, what did they do? They crucified him. Now, that's not to say that they turned from God completely. In a twisted way, influenced by selfishness and sin, the Jews thought that they were following their Lord. They were still praying and reading scripture, going to the synagogue and offering sacrifices. But they lost track of a vitally important part of who their God is. They lost track, actually, of the most important promise that he ever made to them in the coming of the Son of God who would redeem them. And then, because they had their heads buried in the sand, they missed what God was doing. They missed him moving. They actually missed the very miracle that they had been hoping and praying for thousands of years. And they stayed in the narrow view of what was easy and comfortable for them, what simply fit into their narrative, and they stopped looking to discover God, to explore his depths. And let's be honest, there is a lot to discover about our God. If we think about the list of the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians, one that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, these are the characteristics of God. The things that he is, that accompany his presence, and that he formed and grows inside of us as we are changed by Jesus. But God is also all of these things 100% all of the time. He is never not perfectly loving and kind and good and faithful and gentle and just and merciful and gracious, and so it goes on. I don't know about you, but that is more than my brain can comprehend. Now, I'm not saying that we can't stop until we completely understand the God of the universe in all of his magnitude, because newsflash, it's just never going to happen. But I am saying that we need to want to know more, and we have to keep our eyes open to see what God is revealing to us. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on what God's doing and miss out on the joy and blessings of participating, just like the Jews in Jesus' time did. This is something that I have been working through recently. Over the last couple of years, because of a couple of things that have happened and some times that I've really struggled to understand God's plan in my life, I found it really hard to know and accept God as kind. Specifically, that word, kind. There's just been too much hurt and things that I've blamed on him for doing or not doing. This got to the point that a few months ago, late at night, I was out and under the stars and spent hours in a really low place, crying out to God to help me to understand. I was so distraught and hurt, and honestly have spent the last few months still trying to process and hear God's voice in this. And then a little while ago, one of my closest friends lost her mum, who had been sick for quite a long time. Her mum loved Jesus, and as this friend was telling me about her mum's final hours, she said to me, "It was so hard and beautiful, We were already grieving and didn't really even know what to pray at that point. But never once did we doubt that the Lord was with us. We knew that He was close. And this really hit me, and it took me back to that night that I spent under the stars with God. Because despite my hurt and anger and sadness in that moment, I never once doubted that He was with me. I never once doubted that He was listening to me and that He was close to me. In the midst of the emotion and struggle that I was bogged down with, I had stopped looking for God's promises, and I missed one of the promises that is the most repeated throughout Scripture. God says over and over again, "Do not be afraid, I am with you, and I will be with you, and I will never leave nor forsake you." God did not break that promise. I just missed what He was doing. I, like the Jews, became so consumed by what I thought I needed from my Savior, and in that, I missed the saving acts of Jesus. It took the bold and raw confessions of a friend in a grief even deeper than mine to draw me back to the truth. That it's in the present moment, every moment, moment by moment, that we experience God. We can look back and see God's faithfulness. We can look forward and see with hopefulness. But our true experience of God is not looking back or looking forward. It is now. God is with us now. God is with you. But we have to intentionally not miss it. We need to look for God's promises in Scripture. We need to recognize the living Word in the world and in us. We need to separate our understandings of God from the limitations of the world. We need to be aware of the ways that maybe our experiences of life and church and people might be impacting the way that we view God. We need to spend time with God. Slow down, soak in God's grace, asking Him to show us our misconceptions and let us see the things that maybe we have consciously or subconsciously turned a blind eye to. I wonder what those things are for you. Maybe you are realizing that you want to be more familiar with the promises of God in Scripture so that you can see them as they're upheld. Maybe you need to learn or relearn the truth of what God teaches us about His response to suffering in the world. Maybe you have some experiences that make it really hard to believe that God is truly just to everyone, or that make it really hard for you to connect with God as your Heavenly Father. Maybe you've just never wrapped your head around what it means to have joy and peace at all times in the midst of trials. Whatever it is, we are actually not going to walk out of church today before you've had a chance to ask God to show you the reality of His expansive love, the gifts of His grace, and the revelations of His unexpected ways. We're going to ask Him to show you the ways that He's been working that you haven't been seeing. Then we will be the ones to look upon our man of sorrows, the one who was despised and rejected, who was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. And then we will see. And then we will understand. We're going to spend a few minutes in prayer now, boldly and humbly asking God to show us the ways that He has been moving in our life in ways that we might have missed. We're going to ask Him to challenge us, to teach us and to open our eyes to the true depth of character and goodness and to paint for us a better picture of our Lord. And then, this is your fair warning, I'm going to ask you to share with someone around you if you think God has revealed something to you. If you heard God, then you're going to pray together that God would show you more. And if you didn't hear from God, then you're going to pray together that God would reveal Himself to you. But for now, we're just going to be still and create space for God to speak. We're going to be still for long enough that it starts to feel uncomfortable, and then a little bit longer. You can close your eyes or you can keep them open, whichever helps you best. And now try your best to quiet your mind. Acknowledge any thoughts that are pressing and then let go of them. And now I invite you to say to God, Lord, I want to know you more and I want to see you working in the world. Please open my eyes to truth that I have been missing.